to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus paints for us a picture today that is not very pleasant. These are not words that we want to hear coming from the mouth of our God. He starts his teaching with those familiar words that we all know, correcting the apostles in their belief that Jesus was to come and bring peace on earth, and peace, of course, just like they supposed peace was to be. But he speaks of bringing a sword. Sword. And dissension, division, and pain within the family. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and so on. Right? Hard teachings that we've had the last several weeks here at Christ Church. But it gets sharper and even more severe than just this. Until finally we have to admit that the picture that Jesus paints is black and it is white. And there's not a lot of wiggle room and compromise in he who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, right? You can't just sort of take a detour around that and ignore it. Jesus is demanding, and he expects that we hear him and that we heed his words, every one of his words. He paints a picture of the Christian faith for us that we need to hear in this culture that we live in, and that we need to be brought back to when we fall away from it. This is an all or nothing look at the Christian faith. Not the warm, fuzzy sort of Christianity that we've grown used to in our culture, and perhaps even in the Holy Church. Jesus talks about total devotion to him and to him alone, and about war, and setting us against one another. He talks about suffering for his sake, and always regarding him above every single other thing in our life. Everything. There is nothing that is to be above Jesus Christ. And with the failure to do so being the edge of the sword which Jesus brings. This is not the pop culture Christianity the secular world always tries to paint, where Christians are shown as what? As prudish, as weak-minded, right? As dumb people who are just moral sticks in the mud, rather than the obedient slaves of Jesus Christ that we have been made to be by him. And when Jesus talks about the life of of one of his followers. He describes it as totally absorbing, and it is all-encompassing. It is our all. This is not the religion that you will fulfill by showing up for the Eucharist every now and again when it doesn't get in the way of all of the other little things that you've got in your life and have going on. This is a religion that costs you your life. The Christian faith costs you your life and all of it. Because with Jesus, it is all or it is nothing. You try to find the easy way in this faith, and Jesus says you'll miss out entirely. Christ cannot be something else in your life. He can't be something on the side, over there, off a little bit. He is the source of your life. He is what animates you. He is what causes you to breathe. He gives you all things. And your day needs to revolve around the central claim of this religion, that you are loved by a merciful God who came to liberate you from hell and death and every one of the demons. Your life, your day, everything about it needs to revolve around this. That he came to bring you back to himself and to save you. I came not to bring peace but a sword. I came to set a man against his father and a woman against her mother. Those aren't words of comfort and of the status quo. These are relationship-changing words. These are world-changing words. These are the words of a new world order. And you can see why all of the political leaders of the world throughout history have found Christ and his church so completely threatening, because they make a claim on the whole person, right? Not just a little part of one's life, the entirety of our lives. Our allegiance is first to God and to no one else, right? Not the state, not the family, not our work, nothing, but to the King of creation who bled and who died. Furthermore, what this means, what Jesus is saying today means, is that there is nothing pretend about the Christian faith. The breastplate of righteousness, right, that is not just attire that we put on for some people and not for others. That we just put on Sunday and then take it off as soon as we leave the divine service. It's all or nothing. It's life consuming. Where it's not the saving faith of Jesus Christ. The first thing that Jesus tells us is that nothing can be more important. Nothing is to guide and direct our lives more than him. If a parent or a child is more important to you, you will not make it as a Christian. Now, that is not my teaching, right? That is not Pastor Fry's teaching. I'm not coming up here and telling you what I think you need to hear. That is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, don't stone the messenger. Here Jesus is saying, measure yourself against this standard. Right? The standard in the gospel text for today. Measure yourself against that. Right? When Jesus says you must take up your cross, that is Yahweh's judgment. It's not an opinion, and it is not an overzealous thought. The Christian faith is a faith that requires everything. It is not casual, and it is not country club, and it is not easy. It is not easy. It's not something that you can successfully play at or toy with, just kind of on the side, because it's not a hobby. We must, at some point in our lives, assent and say to him, Lord, my life is yours and all of it. I belong to you. Use me as you will. We've got to say, we've got to assent to the faith. And on top of all of this, guess what? We can expect to pay a price in pain, in suffering, in being divided from people that we love. St. Peter and Paul knew this very well as they were persecuted to death for this very same faith that we believe today. All of this is the cost of discipleship. First martyrs of the Reformation, Heinrich Voss and Johann Esch, knew this well too. Now yesterday, July the 1st, was their feast day, their commemoration. It was the day that they were martyred. They were burned to death at a stake for their confession of the faith. If it is easy, if it does come natural to you, if it doesn't demand anything from you, if it has not caused any problems in your life, then it is not the Christian faith. It's something else. Your contrived version of it, maybe. I'll give you an example. Christians are called to the community of the Holy Spirit, right? And this sounds good and all, it's good and well, until you find out that that very same community is filled with what? Other people. Other people who are sinners, no less. Sinners who you may not like all that well, that you don't agree with a lot of the time, or you don't get along with. Well, but people don't want to hear that, do they? Right? They don't want to hear that you're called to be a part of this community, right? They want to cut the body of Christ off from the head because they are fools and that they think they can have the head who is Jesus without his own body. And they complain about how the church is full of sinners and full of hypocrites and whatever, right? That those people, well, they don't see the things the way that I see them or the way that everybody else in the culture sees them. Or that they don't like, you know, organized religion, they're spiritual but not religious, whatever nonsense that means today. Hear this. He who hates the body of Jesus Christ hates the head who is Jesus Christ. You cannot have the head Jesus without the body of his church. If you think that, read the Bible again. Jesus himself shows us today that he's chosen to mediate salvation through the body of his church. Look at verse 40 in the gospel. He who receives you, what? Receives me, Jesus says. He who receives you, the church, receives me. Why? Because this particular community gathered around Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, has the teachings and doctrines. It has the saving gospel of God himself, handed down to the apostles and all the way down to us here in Stanley, North Carolina in 2023. It is the same faith, the same gospel. Nothing has changed. They are his body in the world as he reigns even in the midst of his enemies right now. But with all of those demands, and they are hard, right? I'm sugarcoating anything for you. With all of these demands, all of these expectations, you've got to ask yourself at some time, right? Somewhere, somehow, you've got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Do I really want to give up my desires, my wants for his? Do I really want to be a part of something that has the potential to set parents against their children? Right? Do I want to be a part of that? And I can't answer that for you. That's a question only you can answer for yourself. I can't do it for you. I'm not even going to try. Many people who have been raised in this faith, in the Christian religion, from birth to adulthood, have said no. Right? They've been taken up by the culture that they live in, And they've said, you know what? That doesn't accord with what I've come to believe. So no. The price is too high. Right? I can't do X, Y, and Z or whatever. Right? We want our things. We want our pleasures. We want our family even over the Lord Jesus. Besides, crosses are heavy things. And they are covered with blood and sweat. And they are covered with tears. Many people say that Jesus Christ is not worth it to them. And they forsake Jesus Christ as they forsake his holy church. Make no mistake about that. That is exactly what they are doing. This faith not only requires that we take up our cross, but its central claim is that this man, Jesus Christ, also took up his. He took up a real wooden one for you. And he dragged it to Golgotha, and he died to put the sword through the ancient serpent's head, that he wouldn't be able to hold you any longer in slavery. The reason that he can demand so much of you is because he has given you so much. This is exactly why Jesus speaks the hard word of the Lord, the law to his beloved. Because the door is narrow, right? It is, in fact, narrow. And historically, we, the human race, have so easily turned our backs on God. Is it worth it? That you can even debate that question, by the way, means that God has counted you among his own. He has given you the power and the help of his Holy Spirit to live for him and not for yourself. He's counted you as worthy of being worth the price that he paid when he shed his blood for you. He's counted you as worthy of that. Right? That's the reason you're here at all. The only reason that you can even contemplate the demands that he has set forth. For you, the door is open. The door is open. Today, Jesus teaches us that Christianity is all or nothing. It is radical to the extreme. It's nothing half-baked or temporary about this faith. It is a full-time, everything else comes second to Jesus and his word kind of life. And when we hear Jesus speak to us this way, what does it do? It has to make us aware of the fact that we do not measure up. We are not worthy enough. We are not good enough. We are not worthy of all that Christ has done for us. It has to make us repent and to call on God, throwing ourselves on his mercy and hoping only in his grace, which he gives in abundance until our cup runneth over. And if it does, then thanks be to God. Because that, right, that repentance, that is the mark of a disciple. Everything else follows that. Now, if you don't find this teaching of our Lord Jesus challenging, if I have not stepped on your toes, kicked you in the shin, punched you in the face, then you're not paying attention. When you consider this, you have to cry out to the father of the demon-possessed boy, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And it's not easy listening Christianity or just do what comes natural Christianity. There's nothing fuzzy, nothing kitschy or prairie home companion about the picture that Jesus paints of the Christian faith. This faith described by our Lord Jesus Christ himself is all-consuming. It is all, or it is nothing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of Jesus.